Welcome to the Railbird Central Morning Talk Show here on CheeseheadTV.com. It is Tuesday, the 5th of October, and we are talking Green Bay Packers. We are talking about the fallout from the Detroit Lions game, the 28-26 victory that a lot of people thought should have been more over the Lions, and talking a lot about injuries today. I'm your host, Brian Kervu. Thank you very much for joining me this morning. Please be reminded that all comments on our live blog are moderated entirely by Twitter. So please tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and your comments will get through to the show. Also, just a little housekeeping duties. We are now on iTunes. We are podcasting the show. Done this now about 2-3 times, and everything appears to be working great. So find Cheesehead TV on iTunes. Search for it. Look it up. Give us a follow or subscribe to us, and you can listen to Railbird Central on the go, or on your laptop, or your desktop, or whatever, if you can't make it live. And we are here every Tuesday and Friday morning at 8 o'clock Lambeau time. Once again, everybody, thanks for joining me. Today, we're talking about injuries. And we follow along with the Packers Daily Links on Cheesehead TV. I have a link to it at the top of the live blog. So if you click that link, it'll take you to today's Packers Daily Links, and you can see the top stories about the injury to Brandon Chiller, inside linebacker. If you click this link right here, it'll take you to an article over at the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, their insiders blog, and a post from Rob Domofsky. And here's what Rob Domofsky found out when he called Brandon Chiller's agent. Brandon Chiller's agent, Jim Ivler, said, quote, "I hope it isn't season ending, but I don't think it is. But I'm not going to rule out that it's not possible. By Wednesday, we'll probably have a better idea." So, Brandon Chiller's agent saying that possibly his client's injury could be season-ending. Now, I'm using words like could and possibly here. So, no need to get up bent out of shape yet. Season's not over yet, as many people seem to think it is, based upon reactions from the Bears game last week and the Lions game this week. But certainly not good news. As I did my film review, and you can look through the archives on Cheesehead TV. I know it's the homepage is taken over by the blogcast right now. But if you look through the archives and you look for film review, you will find this past week's film review of the Lions game. And one of the main conclusions I came away with the game, from the game, is that the Packers linebackers, both inside and outside, excluding Clay Matthews, just couldn't keep up with the speed, mostly the speed, a little bit of the size, of the Detroit Lions running backs and tight ends. Guys like Brandon Pettigrew, Tony Scheffler, Javid Best, Kevin Smith. The Lions did an excellent, excellent job of just taking what the Packers defense gave them. And credit Lions offensive coordinator, Linehan? It escapes me, but quarterback Sean Hill just did really a fantastic job just taking what the Packers defense gave them. When the Packers blitzed, that's where they threw to. They threw to the vacated area, and it was just dump-offs and underneath routes to the tight ends and running backs. And the Packers linebackers were slow to get to those areas. Because for the most part, it's the linebackers covering the flats and the underneath routes. It's not your cornerbacks and safeties. So that's where the Packers missed Brandon Chiller this past weekend. And just a little side note, I think the Detroit Lions have a very bright future. Very bright. I can't believe they're going to go winless for much longer. Now compare what the Lions did to the offensive personnel of the Packers, and aside from JerMichael Finley, you do not have that pass-catching ability from your tight ends and your backs. Yes, the Packers might have the best tight end at that in the game, in the NFL, but aside from Finley, they don't have tight ends and backs that are going to beat you with your speed, getting out to the flat, getting out to the sideline, just getting that little extra step on the linebackers of the opponents, where the Lions do. Javid Best? My goodness, is he fast. And Brandon Pettigrew? He is a tight end on the rise. So, that's what I took away. And the Packers missed Brandon Chiller. And Brandon Chiller has had his own problems in pass defense this year. I grant you that. I know that. But I still do think he is better than in pass coverage than a Nick Barnett, than an A.J. Hawk, than a Desmond Bishop. You know, it might only be marginally better, but I do think it is better. So they're going to miss him because I think other teams might expose this as well on the Packers if they have the personnel. Everybody might not have the speed that the Lions have from those perimeter players. But that's my initial reaction to the injury situation of Brandon Chiller. Dean Shuda writes on the live blog, I wonder if Desmond Bishop is as good as he says he is. You know, with the injury to Brandon Chiller this week, Desmond Bishop had his chance to play, and I think he only played one snap. No, pardon me. He played, of course, the one snap of Psycho, I believe, but aside from that, he did play one series when Nick Barnett went out with injury. But, you know, you could tell Desmond Bishop was not part of the game plan this past week. They went with A.J. Hawk in the nickel, A.J. Hawk and, of course, Nick Barnett on every down, except when Barnett was out for that one series with an injury, which he's fine by all appearances. So, Desmond Bishop, not part of the game plan, and he did struggle in those couple plays. I saw he was in on struggling with the screen and making some tackles downfield. So, he didn't do anything special. He actually struggled on special teams a little bit too. I saw he let his man he was trying to block go right by him on kickoff one time that I remember in particular. So, I don't think Desmond Bishop is the answer. I mean, we may see more of him just by default as long as Brandon Chiller could possibly be out. And we should know more on the Brandon Chiller situation within, as they say, Wednesday. So we only have to wait one more day and we should know a little bit more information on the Green Bay Packers linebacker. So, there's that one injury situation. I want to touch on one more here before I really open it up to the fans, give my opinion on the situation at safety. So, of course, going back to today's Packers Daily Links, follow the link at the top of the live blog. It'll take you to our second post of the day, which has to do with safety, rookie safety, Morgan Burnett, rookie starting safety, Morgan Burnett, and how he's out for the season. If you click the link in yellow, it'll take you to today's article by Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And he says, you know, it would be easy to just anoint Charlie Peppra the starting safety, and Charlie Peppra most likely will be the starting safety when the Packers open at Washington, open on their first play. But does perhaps Dom Capers have a little bit more in his bag of tricks? Might he go with some new creative package that we've seen in the past from him? Reading what Mr. Silverstein wrote, he says, quote, Before he anoints anyone as starter, Capers is going to start looking at various combinations of players the way he did when he came up with his Psycho and Big Oki packages. Both were born of personnel dilemmas that required some creativity, a place Capers finds himself heading into the Washington game. And then I'm going to read one more paragraph later in the article from Mr. Silverstein, some of the options that Dom Capers may consider. A little bit further down, he writes, quote, if Chiller can't play, Capers still has options, meaning Chiller going back to Big Oki, where Chiller last year played in place of one of the safeties. Continuing on, Clay Matthews has played every linebacker position and is athletic enough to handle a hybrid position. Also, cornerback Charles Woodson could play a modified safety position tailored around an extra linebacker or cornerback. Also, Jarrett Bush has played the position and could start. So, some pretty interesting concepts that Spoon brings up. Tom Silverstein, his nickname is Spoon. But, yes. Now, could the Packers go to something a little more creative? Not to say they won't go with Charlie Peppra. I mean, he'll probably play a majority of the time, I would venture to guess. Of course, that's not a given, but I'm pretty confident that you'll see Charlie Peppra in the starting lineup and, you know, the lineup in general most of the day. But could there be some interesting personnel packages we haven't seen in a while or haven't seen at all yet? Haven't seen in a while, meaning going back to Big Oki, perhaps. It might be the case where they trot out Brandon Chiller at basically a safety position. I think they use him slightly differently. A little bit more of a run stuffer, perhaps. Perhaps a little bit more in the box. But just the kind of guy that is going to be better at stopping the run than, say, a Morgan Burnett was, or Charlie Peppra, for that matter. Washington has a little bit of a power running game to them. They do like to pound the ball. And, of course, there's the running threat from Donovan McNabb that the Packers have struggled with. Quarterbacks scrambling this year. And maybe Brandon Chiller on the field might be able to help against that. Maybe. Maybe they go to more psycho than we've seen. Maybe. Psycho was only used one time this past Sunday against the Lions, and they ran a screen against it, and I believe got a first down on that play. So, the Packers have to figure out how they're going to defend against the screen when they do run psycho, as teams have found out that's kind of the issue that they have to deal with. Um,
So
they have to figure out a way to defend against that, and they also have to figure out a way to defend better on third downs than they have so far this year. And whether that means going to Charles Woodson as maybe a linebacker hybrid, going to Clay Matthews, perhaps not on this typical wing off the line of scrimmage, flanking the defensive ends, if you will. Maybe he does play off the line of scrimmage. Of course, that's a very, very scary proposition, because you do want to see Clay Matthews rushing the passer, be your primary pass rusher. He's the best on the team at it. And if you play him off the line of scrimmage, there's nothing to say that he can't blitz, but, you know, I would think that if you're playing him off, you're also going to see him drop into coverage more often. Do the Packers try that? Is it worth the experiment? Is that going to mean more playing time for the outside linebackers like Brad Jones and Frank Zombo? And Brady Papinga, who were rotated at will this past Sunday at Lambeau Field against the Lions? Almost. And none of them really did anything outstanding. I think it was Aaron Nagler, my colleague here at Cheesehead TV, who said by playing all the linebackers, the Packers admitted that they don't have one opposite Clay Matthews, and that could be the case. Frank Zombo probably is the most, has the most potential. He's looked good in spurts. He hasn't shown he can be a consistent pass rusher, which has been a little bit of a disappointment. But maybe he can. Maybe they give him more of a shot and Brad Jones more of a shot with Clay Matthews playing some hybrid off the line of scrimmage linebacker position. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what Dom Capers cooks up. And with that, I'm going to open it up to the rest of you out there watching the show. Please feel free to chime in on the live blog. Please tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV. Nobody is moderating comments today. So please, you must use Twitter and use our Twitter widget if you want, right underneath the broadcast player. The phone number for the show is area code 646. 797-2909. Once again, that's 646-797-2909. If you want to share your thoughts on the injury situations to either Brandon Chiller or Morgan Burnett and what the Packers are going to do at those positions, linebacker or safety, feel free to call into the show or leave your thoughts on the live blog. While I wait for anybody to chime in, talk a little bit more, going back to the safety position and other options the Packers may or may not have. Derek Martin filled in this past Sunday. Did an okay job. I guess he was in on that touchdown pass that they threw up to Kelvin Johnson in the end zone. They bracketed him with Martin on the backside, Charles Woodson on the front side, and it was basically a jump ball situation that one of the best wide receivers in the league is going to come down with. I mean, it's hard to blame Derek Martin for that. And aside from that, he looked pretty good, or at least he was in position, you know, to take away passes and things like that. A lot of the passes, of course, like I said earlier, were underneath routes, dump-offs, to the flats, to the running backs. Can't blame Derek Martin for that. He did okay. I think it was Coach Mike McCarthy who said in yesterday's press conference that he struggled a little bit with communication just because Derek Martin didn't get the practice reps. Throughout the week, Charlie Peppra has had some injury issues. I think it's a quad or thigh, same thing. Not sure exactly what happened there. Just a deep bruise, perhaps. Maybe a pull. I'm not exactly sure. But McCarthy also said he's hopeful Peppra will be back to practice tomorrow. Of course, the Green Bay Packers have the day off today. Tuesday's their off day most of the time when they play games on Sundays. And so, when they get back to work tomorrow, hopefully Charlie Peppra will be in there taking a majority of the snaps. He is the default starter. He was right behind Morgan Burnett on the depth chart. So you feel like he would fill in there. Other options the Packers have open to them are Jarrett Bush, who played safety last year, who's been concentrating on cornerback this year, but Mike McCarthy listed him as an option. Of course, you know, he's going to concentrate at cornerback during training camp, where he was used this past Sunday. But when you cut down to a 53-man roster and only 45 on game day, people do have to play more than one position. They do have to provide depth. There are very few players on the roster that, you know, specifically concentrate only at one single position. You know, you see this all the time with, you know, your defensive backs and linebackers. Brandon Chiller is going to be both an inside and outside linebacker in a pinch. John Kuhn is a fullback, but is also now a halfback. You know, Jared Bush, safety and cornerback. And Charles Woodson, safety, has started at safety in the past, I think 3 years ago. Didn't really work out all that well. But, so, Jarrett Bush is an option, and it's possible they'll use him. Jarrett Bush has been solid this year. I know people don't like him. Going back to the NFC Championship game fumble. But you have to credit Jarrett Bush this year for being very solid on defense and on special teams. Knock on wood, the guy hasn't had a penalty yet this year on defense or special teams. And yeah, he gave up that completion, I believe, to Scheffler on Sunday along the sideline. He was at fault for that. That was his fault. He should have went with him. Shouldn't have been trailing underneath. Even though he did have a little bit of safety help over the top. But still, there was nothing else underneath, so he should have went with him. But other than that, he did really good. He had, I thought, he was only credited with one pass breakup. I thought he had at least two or three. I mean, he was in there on a couple passes and prevented a couple completions this past Sunday against the Lions. So, and if you also looked at the film review, you know, typically, Charles Woodson played in the slot the first three games of the year and most of his career as a Packer. He's played in the slot when the Packers come to play their nickel defense. But, of course, they wanted him lined up on Calvin Johnson to take away their best offensive threat receiving option. So, Charles Woodson played mainly on the outside. But they decided not to blitz Charles Woodson at all this past Sunday. One of the most heavily blitzed cornerbacks in the entire NFL. Maybe in the history of the NFL. They blitzed Charles Woodson a lot. But because he didn't play slot, didn't play against the slot receiver, they didn't blitz him at all. Charles Woodson had zero blitzes this past Sunday. And it was instead Jarrett Bush that blitzed. Jarrett Bush blitzed, I believe, 10 times on pass plays and a couple more run blitzes as well. And he did do poorly at that. He was not disciplined, did not break down when he got near the ball carrier. Whether it was either the quarterback, Sean Hill, or whoever the running back was for the Detroit Lions on that particular play, Kevin Smith or Javid Best. So, Jarrett Bush has a long way to go in that department on his blitzes. Nowhere near as good as Charles Woodson. Then again, who is? But Bush has been very, very solid this year. Some comments on the live blog from Jamie Lee. Jarrett Bush has been around this team long enough that if he is a good player, he should be able to step in. And he is now stepping in and playing a valuable role. And Jersey Al says Bush has not sucked as he normally does. He has been adequate. And true, I think it is adequate is perhaps the proper term. Jamie Lee then says, I don't completely buy that he's better, but if he is, he needs to show us now. So, Jarrett Bush, an option at safety. Also, perhaps an option, and we may know this by the end of the day today, whether practice squad undrafted rookie Anthony Levine takes Morgan Burnett's spot on the 53-man roster. They're most likely going to place him on injured reserve based upon head coach Mike McCarthy's comments yesterday. He didn't show any inkling that Burnett could perhaps come back late in the season. He didn't, you know, show that at all. So you can only assume he's going to go on injured reserve today, tomorrow, and the Packers are going to make a roster move. You know, you could just go with the safety. The Packers, it's possible they may choose not to add a safety because they know that Jarrett Bush can play there. So if he does play safety, they do technically still have four of them on the roster between Collins, Peppera, Martin, and Bush, which is enough to get by. So who do you fill that roster spot with then? Packers have had some problems with the linebacker position. Perhaps one of the more likely candidates might be Robert Francois, who can play both inside and outside linebacker positions, was showing to be ahead of Cyril Obiezer during training camp before he was moved to inside linebacker. Perhaps maybe he has a little pass rush. I don't know. Probably has less than a guy like Frank Zombo. Otherwise, Robert Francois would have made the roster ahead of Frank Zombo. So maybe I'm hoping a little too much there. But anyway, those are probably your two most likely candidates to join the Packers. And, you know, one more reason I say they might not go with safety Anthony Levine is because they know in 2 weeks that Atari Bigby's coming back, and once he comes back, they'll cut somebody anyway. Maybe they don't try Anthony Levine, keep him on the practice squad, try out, experiment with a guy like Robert Francois. I don't know, just a thought. Those are my two most likely candidates for the newest members of the Green Bay Packers. And with that, folks, it's 8:30, slightly past. I'm going to take a break here, but I will be right back shortly. Welcome back to the Cheesehead TV Morning Talk Show. Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. Just a reminder for those of you who have joined us late during the show, please use Twitter to get through to our live blog. Feel free to use our Twitter widget on the Cheesehead TV homepage or through your account, but tweet with either the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags Cheesehead TV, and your comments will get through one last time. Nobody is approving comments. So, please use Twitter to comment, if you will. So, thanks for joining us. We talked a lot in the first segment of the show about the injury situation, both to Brandon Chiller and safety Morgan Burnett, and how the Packers will get by without them, changes they'll make in the lineup, changes they'll make on the roster. And now it's time to turn to special teams and kick returner Jordy Nelson. If you go to today's Packers Daily Links, the third story down is about Jordy Nelson. It's an article by Jason Wilde of ESPN Milwaukee. If you click the link in yellow, it'll take you to Mr. Wilde's article about Nelson, and got some comments from special teams coordinator Sean Slocum. And Sean Slocum confirmed Jordy Nelson is not entirely out as the kick returner, despite two fumbles on Sunday. Slocum said, quote, "I plan on using Jordy against Washington. We may use someone else as well," unquote. So, while Jordy Nelson will be used, the Packers may go in another direction as well, in addition to Jordy Nelson. So, I want to read what Jason Wilde had to say, basically paraphrasing head coach Mike McCarthy at yesterday's press conference, the day after press conference, as he always has following a Sunday game, press conference the next day, Monday games for that matter as well. But Jason Wilde writes, McCarthy said he would definitely consider starting cornerback Tremont Williams, who is already the team's punt returner, little-used cornerback Pat Lee, who suffered a knee injury returning a kickoff during the 2009 preseason finale at Tennessee, and recently added running back Dimitri Nance, who was active against the Lions but did not play a snap from scrimmage while seeing limited special teams action. So those are your options at kick returner this week against Washington and into the future as well, I suppose. So, I want to know, what do you guys think about the kick returner situation? Should Nelson remain? He had been doing a very good job prior to this past Sunday against the Lions. I think he was something like 8th in the entire NFL on kick returns, and that was against a mediocre performance against the Chicago Bears. Prior to that, in the first two games of the year against the Eagles and Bills, even better than that. But, as I wrote on Cheesehead TV yesterday, Jordy Nelson has 6 career fumbles on special teams in something like 71 combined kick and punt return attempts in the past two seasons. I don't think he had any attempts his rookie year. They've all come in the past 2 years. So, six fumbles. I believe he's only lost three of them, but still, six fumbles in only 71 attempts. And I think they've come in the past 17 games. Six fumbles in the past 17 games. So, you know, once every three games, on average, Jordy Nelson is fumbling. Less than once every three games. Can the Packers afford that? Who do they turn to? Do you go with Tremont Williams, who is arguably having the best season of any Green Bay Packer on the roster? He's not going to get the credit because he's not getting the statistics. He's not getting interceptions. So it's a shame that he won't get, you know, credit from the national media and won't be under consideration for a Pro Bowl at the end of the year unless he starts getting interceptions, and that's a shame. But anyway, he is playing a prominent role on defense and every down player, in addition to being the punt returner, where he's out there, you know, risking injury on punt returns as well. Can you put him back on kickoffs? Interesting that Pat Lee was listed as an option. Head coach Mike McCarthy brought up his name. I didn't even think of it off the top of my head. Pat Lee had been used on kick returns, especially in the 2009 preseason. As Jason Wilde wrote, he was injured on a kickoff return, but Pat Lee is now far removed from that and may be able to provide a little bit of spark. He does have decent speed. We haven't seen a whole lot of Pat Lee. I would like to see what he has. He didn't even get much of a chance during training camp this year. Surprisingly, you'd think he would have gotten more of a shot to see what they have in him. Just getting some work in on returns, just catching the ball. Jersey Al says on the live blog, the thing about Jordy Nelson is how he holds the ball. It's not tucked in high and tight, mostly cradled between his hand and arm. True, Jersey Al, I noticed the exact same thing. You know, it's fine when nobody's around you when you first catch the ball in the first 10 yards that it's just, you're just running with the ball. But once people come near you, and Jordy Nelson has to see this in his peripheral vision, you know, you got to cover it up with both hands. And even if you aren't, you know, don't have it with both hands, you just got to carry the ball high, you know, high and tight, like Jersey L says, not down low where it's just going to pop out. So, yeah, Jordy Nelson is very much at fault for that. And has to, especially when, you know, guys are coming near him to get that ball high. Get it up by the chest area, by the numbers, top of the numbers. Dean Shooter writes, it's looking more and more like Will Blackman will be a Packer again. I wonder how the knee is. That is another possibility. I went and searched for the information and found out Will Blackman is not eligible to be signed by the Packers until after week six. He could have signed, I believe, if I have this correctly, Will Blackman could have signed with any team in the NFL after week two. So he's open to sign with anybody right now, and he has not. So, it's not just the Packers other teams in the NFL are staying away from him too. And even in the short term, Will Blackmon isn't helping. Week 6 means the Packers still have to get through 2 more games without his services. And even if the Packers do consider Will Blackmon after Week 6, that is the exact same time that the players on the physically unable to perform PUP list also come off. So, conceivably, the Packers would have to make room for 4 players. Will Blackmon, Atari Bigby, Al Harris, and James Starks after Week 6. Now, there's the rules on the PUP list are very complicated. They do not have to be made, they do not have to make room for them right away. After Week 6, there is a 3-week window in which those players can just begin practicing with the teams, just so the Packers can evaluate them and then make a more informed decision on whether they want to activate them or when they should activate them or whether to shut them down for the season on injured reserve. Which makes sense, which is a smart rule. So, the Packers do not necessarily have to make a decision promptly, right away, right after Week 6 is done, whether they're going to activate these people or not. Now, if they know they're healthy and ready, I'm sure they will activate them, but we don't know how ready any of these players are at that point, let alone right now. So, getting rid of 4 players, possibly, it may never happen. But that's going to be tough too. You know, of course, one of the big stories after roster cutdown day was that something like 6 players got gobbled up by other teams when the Packers made their roster cutdowns, most in the NFL. And now you're going to possibly cut 4 more players who may end up on NFL rosters. Aside from that, you know, I would have to assume some of the players, I'm just taking stabs in the dark here, making some guesses, players that you can afford to cut. That would be people like offensive lineman Nick McDonald. I don't know why they kept him on the roster to begin with. I like Nick McDonald. Appears to be a hard worker. I think he's a little undersized, needs some work in the weight room, needs an offseason in the NFL. I didn't think anybody would pick him up on another team. I thought he is a guy that they could stash on the practice squad. Apparently the Packers organization disagrees with me, which isn't a surprise. I'm not a coach or a general manager or a scout or anything near any of those things. And I fully admit that. So I'm not the best eye for talent. I think Quinn Johnson is another player who could be cut possibly. Corey Hall is probably having his best NFL season as a fullback. He is doing an amazing job. It's a shame he was hurt there for a week. I believe it was against Buffalo. But he is doing a bang-up job. And as I do mean bang literally sometimes, which is nice. So, you know, with John Kuhn at halfback, it's kind of nice maybe having Quinn Johnson around as that extra fullback then, but you know, he doesn't play on special teams, and I think he might be a candidate to let go. So there's 2 candidates, Nick McDonald and Quinn Johnson. That still leaves 2 more to go. Wow, these are tough choices. I don't know who else you cut. Perhaps a cornerback? Pat Lee, Brandon Underwood, Jared Bush? I guess. It's going to be even tougher to cut him if Pat Lee does something on kick returns or something like that, shows a talent, shows a penchant for it. Interesting, we saw a little article from Kareem Copeland of the Green Bay Press Gazette saying Brandon Underwood is now last on the depth chart at cornerback behind Pat Lee. So if there happened to be some injuries, Pat Lee would come in at cornerback ahead of Brandon Underwood. And I'm sure a lot of that had to do with injury, but that was not at all the case this whole preseason. Not at all, which was kind of surprising. But getting back to the points I was making here with kick returner, which now was a long time ago. I digressed a long time ago. Another option is Dimitri Nance, the running back who was just recently acquired. What was it, 3 weeks ago now? Hasn't gotten much of a chance at all. Kind of surprising that the Packers used him in week 2 against the Bills. Nothing's changed since that time. You know, he's only gotten more experienced and gotten to know the playbook even better, but yet they haven't ran him the past 2 weeks, which is not a good sign for Dimitri Nance. Although he has had an increased role on special teams this week against the Lions. Donald Lee is an option to be cut. I'm just thoughts are bouncing around in my head here, I suppose. Tight end Donald Lee is an option to be cut, I suppose. He did have that nice first down reception on the final drive this past week, which was really great. That was the play of the year by Donald Lee, by far. Of course, it was only his second reception on the year. So that's good news. And boy, I thought Donald Lee would be a lot more involved this year based upon what I saw of him during training camp and then the preseason. I thought, boy, he's going to have a bounce back year. Not spectacular by any means, but boy, I thought he'd be more involved in the offense, perhaps a red zone target, and just hasn't been that involved. Tom Crabtree is getting a lot of snaps for the Packers. He is obviously their blocking tight end, and deservedly so. He is good at it, better than any other tight end on the team, and better than some offensive linemen, maybe. But, so, he is getting a lot of snaps on both special teams and offense. So, Donald Lee may be a candidate. So, those are your candidates, perhaps, to be cut when the Packers have to make moves following the players coming off the PUP list, following possibly a reacquisition of Will Blackmon on kick returns. We will see in the coming weeks. It's hard to be patient, isn't it? Have to wait for this week 6 stuff, have to wait for a possible trade, have to wait to find out Wednesday what Brandon Chiller's prognosis is. Always have to wait and be patient for everything. Want answers now, darn it. Okay, so, again, I was going back to kick returner. And, well, I just saw on the live blog here the picture of Charles Woodson on Sports Illustrated's regional cover. So that's great. That's an awesome picture. I might have to go pick up that issue of Sports Illustrated. That's great. So, Dimitri Nance possibly getting a chance on kick returns. And we only got a few minutes left here on Railbird Central this morning. And I'm just probably going to touch on one last issue. Going back to today's Packers Daily Links, the link is at the top of the page, top of our live blog this morning. Here it is. If you go, I think it's 5 stories down, an article also from Rob Domofsky of the Green Bay Press Gazette, talking to offensive coordinator Joe Philbin. If you click this link, it'll take you to Mr. Domofsky's article. looks like this. I'm sorry, this is the article with the picture of Aaron Rodgers in it. And some interesting statistics are brought up by Philbin. If I just read this paragraph here, bear with me for one moment, that Domofsky wrote, quote, "In the offensive meeting on Monday, Philbin pointed out that through four games this season, the offense has scored more points than it did a year ago at the same point in the season, have cut down on their sacks by 75%, and are better on third downs." Lot of interesting stuff here from those few statistics. Of course, the one that jumps out at you is cutting down on the sacks by 75%. That has been fantastic. The Packers, of course, had so many troubles giving up sacks last year, and they seem to have curtailed that, at least some. You have to give, you know, there's been a lot of criticism of Chad Clifton and Mark Tauscher, but give them credit for cutting down on those sacks and everyone on the offensive line, and not just offensive linemen either, tight ends and backs as well, and Aaron Rodgers getting rid of the ball, and the wide receivers being aware and getting ready for it. I mean, it is a team effort. But, you know, credit, really, the bulk of the credit goes to the offensive linemen, and that is great to see. You know, that was such a bugaboo last year. Huge talking point. Huge topic of conversation. Those sacks. Wondering how the heck Aaron Rodgers can get through a season. But also, one that really surprised me, just took me by, blindsided me. The Packers are better on third downs than they were at this time a year ago. Boy, I've been sitting here saying they're worse at third downs, and, you know, I suppose over the course of the entire season, if you were to, you know, on average, protracted, prorated, I don't know what the term is, but, you know, Aaron Rodgers was so good at converting third downs last year at a near NFL record pace that, you know, they couldn't do any better at converting it. But here they are, just through four games, which is a rather small sample size, but, you know, better than a year ago at converting third downs. Of course, it was, you know, during the end of the season last year that the Packers got so hot and did a much better job at converting third downs, and much better job in every phase of the game last year, for that matter. So, but that was just a little surprising, and, you know, I didn't expect that at all. Just kind of came at you out of nowhere, and good to see. Really is some good pointing in the right direction. Just a couple final points here. Read an article by Kevin Seifert of ESPN.com, their NFC North blogger, brought up the fact that on this past Sunday's Jason Hansen field goal at the end of the first half, when Jordy Nelson fumbled and set up a 55-yard field goal attempt, that the Packers didn't put a kick returner to possibly return that ball, and they probably should have. I don't know why they didn't. I mean, that's what Sean Slocum's paid for. The Packers did the same thing a couple years ago. Of course, everybody remembers Tremont Williams scored a touchdown on a punt. It was, I mean, I forget who the opponent was, but they lined up for a field goal and actually punted it. So, I mean, my point is it came from a field goal formation, which teams aren't exactly ready to cover kicks from a field goal formation. So, I thought that alone was worth a shot. You know, of course, the clock was going to expire during that kick. And even if he had a long return that didn't quite go for a touchdown, the Packers wouldn't have had time for a field goal of their own. But heck, I mean, just the fact that teams are not prepared to cover on a field goal makes it worth taking a shot. Putting the ball in the hands of a Tremont Williams, we'll say, he's done it once, why not again? I kind of like that thought, that idea. The Packers voted for union decertification yesterday. Just one more little note, and Mike McCarthy responded to Aaron Rodgers' critique about the game plan, about wanting to get the best players on the field and run a little bit more spread offense. And, you know, maybe I should have touched more on that issue today, but we've run out of time here on Railbird Central this morning. Thanks, everyone, for joining me. And, you know, just maybe one last plug here today. Make sure to check out our link on the live blog there for cheap tickets. We have a partnership with TickIQ, and what they do is they search their network of the secondary ticket market for the cheapest tickets on the secondary market. Now, I realize that they're not always cheap, but they check out the cheapest they can find, you know, from places like even eBay auctions and TicketStar, places like that. It is a good service. If you are looking for tickets to a game, check it out. I realize the tickets aren't, you know, they do cost a pretty penny, but this service is as good as any with trying to find you the best tickets on the secondary market. So make sure to check that out. Thanks, everyone, from Cheesehead TV, our family, from our family, for watching today. We're going to get this show up on iTunes podcast for you a little bit later this afternoon. And have a good day. Make sure to come back this evening for Packer Transplants at 8 p.m. Central Time this evening with your hosts, Aaron Nagler and Corey Benke. That's going to do it for me, folks. I'm going to head on out. Have a good day. Have a good Tuesday. See you later.